Good afternoon. Once a Raider, always a Raider. Never been more appropriate than today. I'd like to start off by reintroducing some members of the Raider family. First, our head coaches, Mom and Dad, Jim and Kathy Gruden. I especially want to thank Kathy Gruden for being one of my biggest cheerleaders in this process. Although they couldn't be here today, they're watching at home in Tampa, and I'd like to give them a big hand. Next, I'd like to introduce, excuse me for a moment here, I'd like to introduce the wife and my other biggest cheerleader, Cindy Gruden. Finally, please welcome the next generation of Grudens, Deuce, Michael, and Jason. Without the support of the entire Gruden family, we wouldn't be here today. I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart for helping to make my dream come true.
We've seen the reports that John Gruden is out there looking to get back into coaching.
There's been all these John Gruden rumors.
John would like to coach one more time.
Whispers became rumors.
This rumor with Gruden.
He's about to coach again.
He just fits the Oakland Raiders.
He knows the fan base. He's had enormous success there. In his 4 years coaching there, he never went below 500.
The head coach of the Oakland Raiders, John Gruden.
Now the rumors are reality.
I like the mystique of the Raiders, and I like being a part of it.
Tell the tight end to work the middle. Goes, 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 goes.
Remember that voice?
Posing for football cards. Let's play with some speed.
60 minutes of hard-nosed physical football.
There's just nothing there tonight. Try something else.
Heads up for 200 jet.
Tell Ricky to look cute.
We're in field goal race. Be smart here.
Recognize this face?
Yeah! Yeah, yeah, yeah!
The effort is outstanding.
How about those Raiders, man? Yeah!
If you're late for work, if you're out of shape, you're not knowing what to do, you're gonna never, ever be able to live with yourself. So you guys got a chance to do some good things.
The Raiders have won the AFC West.
Those fans at Oakland, they're unlike any others. And I get emotional thinking about it. Sometimes opportunities come in the middle of the night.
John Gruden's gonna be the next coach of the Oakland Raiders.
And you better like the taste, guys. You better like the taste.
John Gruden is back.
But they ain't seen nothing yet, man.
Raider Nation, this is a big effing deal. Please welcome the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, Mr. John Gruden.
I'd just like to thank Mark Davis, thank Mrs. Davis for this opportunity. I used to get phone calls from Al Davis at 3 a.m. Now I get them from Mark Davis at 3 a.m. But I want to thank you for this opportunity from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you, Cindy, my wife, my three sons, for supporting me in going after this opportunity. And it takes a family effort, I think, to be all in on something like this. And I'd also really like to thank all of the Raider players that are here today. I saw Charles Woodson. Brady fumbled that ball. Tim Brown, Howie Long, Russell Maryland, Eric Allen, Jerry Rice, Jim Otto, Ted Hendricks. It's about the people for me. And that's a big reason that I'm here today. Obviously, this is very emotional for me. I never wanted to leave the Raiders. I never thought I'd be back, but here I am, and I'm ready to get to work. And I just want to say that there's really four major reasons that I am here coaching today. And number one, I love football. I love the players that play it. I love the preparation. I love the journey. Love football. And I love the city of Oakland. I had a son here. Some of my great memories in life are in Oakland. And I want to give them two of the best years of football that I can possibly help deliver. And I love the Raiders. The brand is global. Everywhere I went as a Monday Night Football analyst, the Raider Nation would come out of the ground. I love the Raiders. And most of all, I love to win. And I'm going to do everything I can. No guarantees, no promises, but I want to win. I look forward to working with Reggie and his staff. We've got a lot of work to do. We've hired three coordinators already. Paul Gunther from the Cincinnati Bengals is official. Great addition to our football team. Rich Bisaccia will be our special teams coordinator from the Dallas Cowboys. And Greg Olson will be our offensive coordinator coming over from the LA Rams. So I can't wait to get started, and it's an emotional time for me, but I'll answer any questions I can. Thank you.
Okay, media, please raise your hand and find a microphone on the sides here. When you get to ask a question, please stand up and state your name and affiliation.
John, Jerry McDonald, Bay Area News Group. Can you sort of take us through the process of when this really got serious and to where you are right now?
I don't know, Jerry. Mark and I have been friends a long time. I think over the last 6-7 years, we have talked about the Raiders, not necessarily becoming a coach, but maybe ways that we could improve the Raiders or my vision, how I thought I could help them. But Mark came to me a few weeks ago and asked me if I, or a couple weeks ago, asked me if I had any intentions of coaching, and with the support of my family, I said, yes, I do. And it's a mysterious way that it all came together, but here I am, Jerry. I really don't have a solid explanation other than that.
Phil Barber, Santa Rosa Press Democrat. John, I'm sure that you've had offers pretty much every year to be on back on the sidelines since you left them from Tampa Bay. Why now? Why was the timing right this year? Why was it different?
I just, in my heart, I feel this is the thing to do. This is what I want to do. This is the organization that I want to be a part of. And I'm all in. I only live one time. This is something that I feel deeply, strongly about. And I'm going to do everything I can to hire a great coaching staff and put the Raiders back on track.
John, Vern Glenn, KPIX-TV. Once you made that decision, from that point on, were you just diagramming plays in your head? Were you thinking spider two, why banana? What were the emotions once you made that decision? Hey, this is going to be it.
You know, the reality is I haven't changed much at all since 1998. I really haven't. I'm not a real deep philosophical person. I've always loved football. I've wanted to come back. I've prepared to come back. I'm ready to roll. I'm just ready to go. I'm at a point in my life where I need another challenge, and I know I have a lot to prove, and I'm eager to prove that I can do it. But, yeah, I've been thinking of a lot of plays. And when I met Derek Carr this morning, I thought of a few more, just so you know.
John, Ann Killian with the San Francisco Chronicle. You say you haven't changed at all, but we're all a little bit older than we were last time you were here. Do you still have the maniacal energy and passion and 3:17 in the morning wake-up call and all of that?
So far I do. Yes, I do. My wife and kids, I think, can attest to that. Work ethic is a big part, I think, of anyone's success. And any success that I've had, I think, starts with the drive, the excitement of getting up and helping a team and helping a player improve. So My schedule hasn't changed at all, Ann. It really hasn't.
John, Ed Graney from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. What we've seen of you in the last week with Derek Carr is you and him with the camp many years ago. You've met him now. Talk about what you've seen in his maturation, development, and how what you're looking forward to working with him and what you think about him now as compared to then.
Well, my feelings are similar. He has a great arm talent. He's athletic. He's got natural leadership skills. He's young. He's in his prime. He's healthy now. He's, I think, been in a lot of different systems. He's played for a number of different quarterbacks. There has not been a lot of continuity around him that way. I think he's got a huge upside. I think with Greg Olsen and the system that we're going to put in place is going to demand a lot from him, and I think that's what's going to unlock the greatness in him. But very, very excited to have him as our quarterback.
John, Carl Stewart from the Bay Area News Group. 20 years is a long time to be away from the sidelines. How has the game changed, in your opinion? Has it changed that much? And how much are you going to have to adjust from the coach you were 20 years ago?
20? I mean, I'm not that old, Carl. I mean, look, what has changed is the collective bargaining agreement has changed the way we practice, the way we conduct ourselves in the offseason. Obviously, the rules have changed. Player safety has now emerged as a critical part of the game. I paid very close attention to it. I have a lot to prove. There's no question. I have not coached since 2008. I haven't won a game since 2008. I haven't lost any either. So I just want to keep that in perspective. I've got to hire a great coaching staff. That's been the number one criteria that I've tried to bring every place that I've been as a head coach. It's about the people. It's about the staff. It's about the tempo that we establish as a coaching staff. So with that said, I got a lot to prove. I know that. But the game is still decided by players between the lines, and we all have to adapt every year.
Coach, Levi Damian from SB Nation. Being away from the game the last few years, what do you think are the most important things you've learned seeing things from the other side?
Look, I've got to see every facility in the league. I've had a chance to watch them practice, see how they conduct training camps. I've had a chance to learn some things and see some things that I would have never gotten to see as a coach. And I've had a chance to study different offenses, different defenses. And I've had a chance to get into personnel more. So I think I'm more big picture now than I was in the past, but I still want to be very detailed in terms of how we play offense. I still want to be very involved in how we move the football. But I have had some opportunities that are unique and I think beneficial as a broadcaster.
Hi, Rick Tittle with 95.7 The Game, the home of the Raiders. And this is for Reggie, too. You mentioned personnel. How much are you going to be involved in personnel decisions? Or are you just going to coach?
Well, we're going to work together. Reggie and I come from the same tree in Green Bay, raised by Ron Wolf as young Green Bay Packers. I think we have a similar viewpoint in terms of what kind of players we're looking for, but it's got to be a collaborative effort, whether it be a salary cap decision, a free agent acquisition, who we draft. Mm-hmm. We got to work together, and I think that's the great thing about being here is we're going to be united, we're going to work hard, and we're going to assemble the best team possible. We're not always going to agree, and Reggie will probably win. Look at the size of the guy. But you know what? I don't want to agree with everybody. You know, I really want to work hard, and I want to try to pursue every vehicle possible to improve the Raiders.
Bottom line, it's a team effort. I mean, we're a team. It's going to be a Raider decision, bottom line. We're going to work great together.
John, Josh Dubow with Associated Press. You talked about studying offenses over the last 10 years. How different will your 2018 offense think look from what you ran when you were in Tampa and here?
Well, right now it'll be different. The offense we ran in Tampa was very different than the one we ran in Oakland. You know, you see Lincoln Kennedy walking around and Tim Brown and Jerry Rice, you can't take everybody with you and run the same offense. You don't have Rich Gannon. You have to adapt your offense to what Brad Johnson's strengths are. And certainly we're going to have to look at our roster carefully. Do we have a fullback? You know, who is the feature back? Who are the receivers? A lot of things need to be determined. And I think you have to have an offense that is adaptable that's versatile, that can adjust to a number of different scenarios. And that's what we need to do is get through today, lock the doors, and get to work.
John, Tim Kawakami, The Athletic. The reported terms of this deal are 10 years, $100 million. Is that close to accurate? And if it is, how do you make yourself worth $100 million?
I don't have a guarantee to be alive for 10 years, just so people know. Mark has told me that we're not getting ownership of the team, so I am happy to report that today. But I don't really know the terms. All I know is this year I'm going to be coaching in Oakland, and next year I'm going to be coaching in Oakland, and I want to help deliver the best football team we can for the people here in Oakland. And how long I stay here will be determined by how well we play.
Fallon Smith, NBC Sports Bay Area. With that said, how do you manage the expectations, you know, with that unprecedented contract that you're receiving and winning, you know, not just in the future but right now?
I know there's a big bullseye on my chest, certainly. If people want to use that as incentive, so be it. I worked for Al Davis in 1998. That was pressure. I was 34 years old. I've dealt with pressure before. I really don't feel pressure. I love the excitement and the thrill of competing. And, you know, I can't worry about things I can't control in that regard. But I know people will want to step on me and beat me, and that's just the way that this league is.
John Metchenheim and Barry News Group. When you look at 6-10 this last season, what is the biggest need for improvement on this team?
Well, they started fast. They had two impressive wins. That's what we're in the process of finding out. I'm not here today to tell you I have all the answers right now. We have to get to work and solve the problems that we have. We did not finish well. We lost our last four games. We had some injuries, certainly. Changes on the coaching staff. There were a lot of things, obviously, that went wrong. But you can't solve all the problems today. You know, we gotta come up with a plan to put the Raiders back on track and build this football team back.
Malika Babineaux with the Oakland Post. You talk about dealing with areas of improvement, and there were quite a few. And when you look at the big scheme, when you have special teams and the secondary defense, what would you prefer to tackle first and focus on if there are going to be any changes?
Well, you're asking a lot of questions there. You know, you're asking a lot of questions. I think we got to improve in all areas. And no matter what our record is, we have to continue to find ways to improve. We got to improve the way we practice. We got to improve the way we meet. We got to improve the way we play. And we got to improve our roster, no question. The draft will be a big part of it. Who's available when we pick? What is available to us in free agency? That'll be determined down the road, but certainly we need to improve every area of our football team, and it starts with me.
Al Sarasovic, San Francisco Chronicle. You spoke about your understanding and love of Raiders Nation. Can you talk about the team's plans to move to Las Vegas and how you feel about that?
Well, Mark can talk about the move to Las Vegas. I'm a real short-term, goal-oriented coach. Big reason I'm here is my passion for the city of Oakland and this franchise. And the people in the black hole, if you're out there listening, I can't wait to see you guys, man. I really can't. And I'd like to fill that place with Raider fans at least 7 or 8 more times. That's all I care about right now.
Paul Gutierrez from ESPN. John, anybody that's been around you as you prepared for Monday Night Football over the past 9-10 years would say that you're insanely prepared to return to the X's and O's of coaching. That being said, the game has changed with the players. Is there any concern on your part that your same coaching style, in-your-face kind of style, might not jibe with today's player? Or how do you address that?
Well, we have 50 extra Oakland Raider players here today. They didn't mind it. I mean, I don't know what my reputation is. I mean, there's some great video clips of me swearing and me screaming at players. I was also the biggest cheerleader in the league. I get excited when we make a play. I get excited when we make a first down. I really get excited when we win. And I get really upset when we don't. And I hope that still has a place in the NFL. That's how this organization rolls. It's about winning. And if you're not winning, we're not going to be happy. So I hope that still is a big part of every team in this league, because I know it's going to be a big part of this organization.
Coach John Dickinson from 95.7 The Game, you mentioned Derek Carr. What did you see this season from Carr that maybe why he had a down year? Where do you think you can get better with him on the offense? And also, are you going to call the plays offensively?
I'm still in the process of evaluating the tape. I just got in last night. Obviously, Derek got hurt early in the season against Denver. Three broken bones in your back. I think that's a reasonable reason why you might not have the same season you had a year ago. And my intentions are calling the plays. Yes. That's what I've done for the last 14 years of my career. I like being with the quarterbacks. I like calling the plays. Somebody said I was insane a minute ago. That's probably exactly right. I have a different mentality than most guys, I guess.
Grant Cohn, Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Lincoln Kennedy recently said that he thinks the anthem protests affected the team mentally this season. If the team's issues, in fact, run that deep, how do you plan on fixing them?
I'm going to look into all that. Honestly, I'm not aware of any protests. I'm not really aware of that subject at all. So when I gather some information, maybe we can cover that later.
Over here. Tim Bonish from the Washington Post. John, just to be clear, would you have an issue with your players protesting during the anthem? Because that's something that's come up. And Mark, you said that this is the biggest dream of your life to bring John back. I was just curious why.
When my father passed away and we had the first press conference, I told everybody here that the one thing I know is what I don't know, and I'm going to surround myself with the people that do know those things. My vision at that time was John Gruden to coach this football team and Reggie McKenzie to bring in the talent. It took me 6 years of chasing John, but every trip I made to Tampa Bay and I sat down in the fired Football Coaches Association room and saw the work that John does every day, starting at 3 a.m. in the morning, watching film, marking down plays, how much he enjoys it. And over the 6 years, that passion never waned. He's continually doing it, and I continually tried to convince him that he's wasting his time teaching everybody out here how to play football. He should come back and do it with the football team in the National Football League. And if he's going to do it, he should do it with the Raiders. And it is the biggest day of my life right now to have him here to run this organization and be the leader of this organization on the field is going to be phenomenal. And that's how I'm excited.
Hey, John, Josh Dubow from AP again. You talked about a little bit about Derek Carr. You've had success with more veteran quarterbacks. How much does the process of working with a young quarterback, developing quarterback, attract you to this job?
Yeah, it is very exciting. And I think there's a huge ceiling for Derek Carr. I think he's proven that. And it's up to us as a coaching staff to improve around him, get more consistent, come up with an offense that really allows him to soar into another level. But it's exciting. I think if I was a Raider fan, I'd come to the stadium every week very excited to see number four under center.
Coach, this is your first pick in 1998. Charles Woodson, I'm with the Oakland Raider alumni. All of us just want to know, is there a no-trade clause in your deal?
You're going to make me want to go home, Charles, back to Florida. There is a no-trade clause. All I want to say to you guys is I want to say this to you guys, all of you. It means the world to me that you're here. And you're welcome. As long as I'm the head coach, all of you are welcome here. I want you guys to be a big part of this Raider organization. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your attendance here today. Some of you guys were actually on time, unlike when I was coaching here. But there's a lot of young players out there, I know this, that have untapped potential. And we have to tap it as soon as they walk in these doors, and I need your help to do that. But thank you guys for being here.
Hi, Coach. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm Felicia Purcell for the Martinez News Gazette. And before you came out, Mark said, once a Raider, always a Raider. And I had a chance to speak to some fans coming in here. They wanted me to give you the message to stop by and say hello to them. But just speaking on the energy coming in here with Charles chanting the Raider chant, you also mentioned going in and hamming it up with the Black Hole. What message would you like to give to the Raider Nation as a whole across the world, across the United States? What would you like to say to them?
I'd just like to say I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to unite with them. I never wanted to leave. I'm thrilled to be back. I have a great opportunity, and I plan on doing everything I can with this opportunity. And let's go, man. That's what I say to Raider Nation. Let's get going. Let's quit talking here, and let's get to work.
Coach Lorenzo Neal with 95.7 The Game. What is your policy kind of with all the things that are going on, like with Twitter and Snapchat and all the different things that Belichick would like to say? What's kind of the policy, and how do you control that situation?
That's what's changed. You know, technology's changed. You know, technology is incredible. I talk to my kids about Snapchat, Instagram, all that stuff. We're going to have conversations about that. I think you have to monitor it. I think you have to be careful what you read, because it's not always true and it's not always positive. You got to be careful what you post, because sometimes it backfires against you. But it's no different than talking in a microphone. You're responsible for your actions, and we'll talk about that at length with our team.
Matt Calhar with the San Francisco Chronicle. What's your impression of the overall roster that you're inheriting, and what do you think are realistic expectations for the team next season?
This is probably not the time for that kind of question, honestly. I did get a chance to broadcast Oakland against Philadelphia on Christmas night, so I did study their roster. I know they have some injuries. I'm learning about the health of the football team right now. I know they have some talented offensive linemen. They got a gifted young quarterback. There's some real positive traits to build on. But I'm not going to make any predictions. I'm going to say the same things I said when I was here before. We will get what we deserve, and we'll see what that is as time unfolds.
Fallon Smith, NBC Sports Bay Area again. If Marshawn Lynch wants to come back next season, do you see him fitting into your scheme and what you want to do offensively?
You know, I've never met Marshawn Lynch. Even as a broadcaster, I asked for Marshawn Lynch in production meetings. I never got to meet him. So I'm anxious to sit down with Marshawn and meet him, and we'll talk about his future and the Raiders. I can't wait. He came back to the Raiders for similar, I think, reasons that I did. I think he loves Oakland. I think he loves the Raiders. And guys like him interest me, so I'm looking forward to talking to him.
Phil Barber, Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Reggie, did you satisfy the Rooney Rule in this search? And if so, can you give us any details on who you interviewed and when those interviews took place?
Yes, I did satisfy the Rooney Rule, and I interviewed two minorities, okay? The names has already been reported, but it's Bobby Johnson, who was on our staff, and also T. Martin, offensive coordinator at Southern Cal University.
Al Sarasovic with the Chronicle. Coach Gruden said he didn't want to discuss the details of the deal. For Mark Davis, can you tell us a little bit about the contract structure here, what you can share? And then if it is a 10-year deal, is that a requirement for Coach Gruden to come here? That's a huge commitment.
A huge commitment by whom?
I'm sorry?
A huge commitment by whom? By him or me?
No. I believe you're going to owe him the money, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The National Football League has a salary cap for players. And so it's very competitive, and there's parity, so to speak. And I think one of the big differences in teams is the front office or the coaching staffs and those things. There's no cap there. I felt, as I said, for 6 years that John Gruden is the person I want to lead this team. And to me, the money really doesn't really come into play here at all. It never really came into our conversations. I won't get too deep into how it came to that, but it really wasn't the number one overriding issue. And I'm comfortable with the way the contract's set up.
John, Ann Killian with the Chronicle again. You joked with Charles when you got in here about that was a fumble. Do you feel that you have unfinished business here? And how much has that kind of gnawed at you over the last, 15 years, 10 years?
It's great to see you again, Ann. Thanks for bringing up the Tuck rule and how old we are. It's great. There is unfinished business. And as a coach, you know, I was traded. I've been fired. I've missed the game terribly. But I've really missed the Raiders. And for my career to end on that night in New England, it still ticks me off. And I'm so thrilled to be back here. I hope people understand the emotion inside of me. I feel unfinished business. I also feel a lot of loyalty, and I feel a lot of responsibility to get the Raiders going again. And it's been a while since we've consistently performed at a high level, and that's really all I care about. I'm going to do everything I can to help this team get right again.
John Jerry McDonald, Bay Area News Group. A couple of times while you've been away, and you alluded to it earlier, some of the restrictions of the CBA and how much more difficult it is to train a quarterback with the amount of time allotted. I assume you've given that a lot of thought. Do you have new philosophies on how to sort of compact information into shorter periods of time?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. My brother's a coach in the NFL with the Redskins. I spend a lot of time with a lot of different NFL quarterbacks that come to my office to meet with me because they can't even meet with their own coaches. I mean, teams are building these monstrosity facilities and they can't even use them because they're locked out because of the collective bargaining agreement. So, look, you can't wear pads on the practice field at times. The length of practices, the way training camp unfolds now, there's limitations on what you can do. So it is critical that you spend a lot of time looking at the practice schedules, the meeting schedules, so you can get as much done as possible in a short period of time. And I think there is a real skill and a real art to that, and certainly that's something we've been researching carefully.
John Michael Gelkin, Las Vegas Review-Journal. You've had a long time to consider who you would choose for your coaching staff when this day arrived. Can you detail each of your coordinator choices, including Rich Bisaccia, with whom you have an elongated history of working with in the past?
There's a real trick when you become a head coach. You can't just go get the guys you want because they're under contract. A lot of these guys are head coaches now, the guys that you worked with. But over the years, I have always tried to keep a close group of friends and people that I have a high respect for on red alert, just in case an opportunity did arise. And Rich Bisaccia was our special teams coach when we won the Super Bowl. He's a special teams coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He's a versatile coach. He coached two positions for me in Tampa. He was a running back coach and the special teams coach. Great leader of men. He'll do an outstanding job here. Paul Gunther. I met Paul Gunther when my brother was the offensive coordinator of the Bengals. I love the way the Bengals play defense. Up the field, single gap, get after you. Mike Zimmer, who left Cincinnati, went to Minnesota. I think we all agree they're quite a defensive team. He's a great teacher. He's been able to get a lot out of players. Vontaze Burfict, undrafted out of Arizona State, became a star player. He can coach coaches. He can coach a lot of different situations to a high level. And Greg Olson coached Derek Carr for a year here. His intel there will be very important. He coached with me in Tampa. And he coached with Sean McVay, one of my ex-assistants in L.A. So the system of football that we run, there will be a real natural flow. But I am thrilled to have these three coaches. We've got to hire some others this week, and we've got a number of interviews slated starting tomorrow morning.
Hi, John. Art Spander.
Hey, Art.
With the Athletic. You're announcing a game last Saturday.
Yeah.
And you're looking forward towards the Raiders. What's going through your head? Are you split in between the two things? Are you trying to keep your mind on one or the other? And just wonder.
Yeah, I was split pretty good. You know, I walked into Arrowhead Stadium earlier in the season twice for the Chiefs-Bronco game and the Chiefs-Redskin game. And the fans were really nice to me. And when I walked into the stadium the other day, it was like 1999 all over again. But I love the AFC West. I love the natural rivalries that have been around since I was a kid. But I was split, certainly, and my juices got going when those Chief fans started taunting me.
Coach Lena Washington, ABC 10 Sacramento. Obviously, it's very evident your passion for coaching and your passion for Oakland and the Raiders. But over the last several years, when you had other coaching opportunities presented to you, in your heart of hearts, were you hoping for this moment and waiting for that moment?
I think I was, deep down somewhere. You know, I was at a point in my life where I wanted to be with my family. My sons were at an age where I had a chance to coach in high school, be around them. But this place, this man right here, has a lot to do with why I'm here today. The timing is right. Really doesn't have anything to do with the contract. I just want to be a part of the Raiders again. I want to finish my coaching career as an Oakland Raider. And I can't wait to get started.
We have time for one more question.
Reggie, Ed Graney, Las Vegas. Coach brought up about your Green Bay days. Obviously, there was a GM and coach there who worked a long time together and did well. Can you specifically address your time there and then why you think this will work well here in terms of that experience?
Obviously, it was a great experience. A lot of great coaches, a lot of great personnel people. Seeing the relationship between Ron Wolf and Coach Holmgren, I saw it the way it's supposed to be. We saw that, you know. A lot of great decisions were made because it was a team effort. So that's what I saw, and, you know. And you see what maturated after that. The coaches who's gone on, the personnel people who's gone on. So, yes, that's instilled in me, and we're gonna continue to grow from that. So I can't wait to get started with Coach Gruden. We fired up. I'm ready to roll.